Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm still in your bed. Good night, you sleep means goodbye. Me replaying memories in my head. Look at you, look at you, look what you made me do. How do you figure my every move? Who are you, who are you? You look so familiar. I know you, baby, I know the truth. We got way too much in common. Somebody like me, you want. We used to talk till midnight. All those days that you stayed at my house, we were just passing the time. When we were young and we ain't had no vows. Nah, 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 maybe later on I'll text you and maybe you'll reply. We both know we had no patience, together day and night. Yeah, deny on our supply, yeah, we ain't satisfied. I could love you all occasions. We got way too much in common. Somebody like me, you wanna love somebody like me. If you could love somebody like me, you must be Mr. Hunter. Who wants to love somebody like me? You wanna love somebody like me. If you could love somebody like me, you must be Mr.
Dr. Winburn, nice to hear from you.
Yes.
So
pleasure surprise.
Yes, yes. So thank you guys for coming to the show on tonight, All About Real Estate with Tiki Williams. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about down payment assistance. We kind of touched on this a few weeks back, but I wanted to come back to this because we've been seeing a shift and a change in the market. And so I wanted to bring this back and just to give a little more information about it and to also give you more information on working with builders. So tonight we're going to talk about, hey, what do I do if I don't have enough money to buy a house? You know, it boils down to, wow, I need money for a down payment, which is, you know, will be determined by what type of loan that you choose. If you go FHA, which is 3.5% down of the sales price of the home. If you go conventional, it could be anywhere from 3% to 20%. Where do we get this money from? You know, it's a lot of money. You know, you just, majority of people just don't have, you know, $10,000, $15,000 sitting around where they can go and buy a home. So I had a great conversation with one of my other realtor friends. She had been working with a client, and for those that don't know, like D.R. Horton, they're like one of the biggest and one of the oldest builders one of the oldest and biggest builders here, also in Texas and just around the U.S. So you might see D.R. Horton a little bit of everywhere. Well, one thing about D.R. Horton you will find is that they normally offer great incentive packages if you come and purchase with them. But there is a catch-22. They do want you to use their lender, which is not always a bad thing. You know, it's fine to be able to use their lender. Sometimes, you know, their prices might be a little more expensive, but hey, if you're looking to get into a home, going to new construction and dealing with a builder just might be the good fit for you at the moment. One thing we have to keep in mind is that for a lot of us, this is just our first home. It's not our starter home. I mean, it's not our forever home. It's our starter home, and that's okay. We just want to get in and be able to start getting and building that equity in the home. So back to my realtor friend. She had a client that went to D.R. Horton. At the time, D.R. Horton, they were paying closing costs if you use their lender. Now, I want you guys to listen at this. This is good. This is going to get good. So young lady went to D.R. Horton. She decided to go with their lender. Fabulous. They're going to take care of the closing costs. You're probably asking, Tiki, what are closing costs? Okay, closing costs are different from down payment. So closing costs are your administrative fees that you have to pay to the title company, the lender. It includes any prepayments that you have to pay before you purchase the home. And prepayments are normally like your taxes. You normally have to pay your taxes up. So they cover the closing costs and the title, which is fantastic. So she didn't have that cost associated. So the next thing she did, because guess what? She didn't have a down payment, but she went and got down payment assistance, which covered her down payment for her home. So now she has the down payment to cover. She has the builder paying her closing costs. She has taken care of two of the most major expenses in buying a home. So D.R. Horton here in Texas, in North Houston, they require at that point $275 for your earnest money. So your earnest money is your good faith payment to the builder or the seller to say, hey, once you go under contract, I am serious about buying this home. Here is my earnest money. One thing about D.R. Horton, if you decide that you don't want the house, they will give you your earnest money back. Right now, I'm going to let you know that's nothing that's common, because earnest money is normally if the contract does not go through and it's not a legal reason why you can't buy this house, what happens is that earnest money goes to the seller or the builder. But D.R. Horton, they're like, hey, you know what? We'd rather have your business back. If you decide that you don't want us, fine. So this young lady was able to purchase a home. She put $275 down for her earnest money. Now, mind you, your earnest money does go towards your closing costs when it's time for you to purchase the home at the end, when it's time for you to close. So that's an actual credit that you're really paying up front. So she decided not to get a third-party inspection. Now, as a realtor, I would recommend that you get a third-party inspector to come out and inspect a home, even as a new build. That's just a side note. Because, again, people are human and anything can happen. But D.R. Horton, they do have inspectors that come along the way, and most builders do, to inspect the work that has been done. So she decided, she opted out not having a third-party inspector. So when it was time for her to close, get ready for this, you guys. She ended up going to the closing table not having to pay anything. They wrote her a check back for $275, because mind you, she was also a first-time home buyer, which she ended up getting some good and nice home buyer credit. So this is a true and actual story where someone actually bought a new construction home basically with no money down. Initial payment of $275 for their earnest money. Now, mind you, this can vary depending on where you're at. You know, each builder is different. But as we see the climate changing a little bit, this is still a seller's market, but we're starting to see, especially in this season, sales tend to drop anyway. And so builders, and it's coming toward the end of the year, those who have inventory, which aren't a lot, but those who do have inventory, they're looking to make sure that they get rid of that inventory by the end of the year, number one. And two, they also forecast. They want to keep people in their pipeline as well, even toward the end of the year, that's able to buy in the fiscal year of the new 2022. So they're offering some nice incentives at this point to be able to purchase. But guys, do you believe that that actually happened? And it actually did. This young lady bought a house with basically no money down. And that is what I want to talk about today, is that these things can actually happen. And some resources where you guys can go to actually receive assistance for down payment, for closing costs. And even if you're looking to buy an existing home, some of these programs are still available to you, even if you go to buy an existing home. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. I'm definitely going to open up for questions because I know people are probably interested in finding out, you know, more about this. But today I'm going to focus on Texas, but I'm also going to talk about some different states. And even though we're talking about Texas, what I'm telling you can also apply to your state. You just have to go and find out where that information is. And, you know, I'll still be able to give you, like, insight on where you can go to find that information. So for down payment, Texas offers, the state of Texas offers two programs. It's called Homes for Texas Heroes and then Home Sweet Texas Home Loan Program. And so some of the requirements for this is that you do need to have a minimum of a 620 credit score. So with some of these down payment assistance programs, you will be required to have a certain credit score. Later on, we will talk about other programs that will offer a lesser credit score, but for the state of Texas, they're looking for a 620. Another thing, something that they've done different here in Texas in regards to their requirement, they have increased what you can make. So a lot of these programs are income-based. So your down payment assistance programs are income-based. So if you're, you know what I'm saying, making $150,000 a year, yeah, down payment assistance program probably won't work for you. But if you are under or right below in the state of Texas, that $100,000 mark, and it doesn't even matter how many people you have in your family, so which is nice. So if you only have two or three people in your family and you're making close to $100,000, you can still qualify for the Texas Down Payment Assistance Program. You know, there are some other things that, you know, they look into, you know, to make sure, again, you know, income, but you are able to work with your own lender. This is not a program where you're required to work with their lender. You're able to work with your own lender. So for this particular program, if you're just wanting to do down payment assistance and just say not work with a builder, if you wanted to do just down payment assistance and say buy an existing home, you're able to do that with this DPA program. So they have different levels of assistance that they give. They give 3, 4, and 5%. Now, I will say this, though. Working in this program, it will increase your interest rate because they do have two types of loans. They have a grant. And then they have a forgivable 3-year loan. It's like a second lien on your house. But even with the grant program, each of those percentages, that 3% will increase your interest rate. Right now, they're looking at 3.375. You know, if you do a 4% DPA, it's at a 3.750. And if you do a 5% DPA, it's at a 4.125. So there will be an increase in your interest rate. So, you know, even if you're working with a lender and they say, hey, I can get your interest rate of maybe like 2.9 or 2.8, if you do choose to use this program, that will increase your interest rate. But that's okay, because later on, you're able to refinance out of this loan. So if we're looking to just get into the house, it is something that works, and I do encourage you to take advantage of it, because we're looking to establish you and start to build your generational wealth. We're starting to build equity by you purchasing your first home. So it's a really, really great program. And, you know, in addition, the city of Houston offers a program as well. So they have a DPA program as well. So, for example, if you say you don't qualify for the program through the state of Texas, the cities also normally have a DPA program, and they can differ. So state of Texas, they have a couple programs. They have a Harvey Home Buyer Assistance Program. You know, if you were here like during Hurricane Harvey, and so something happened to your home, or you are just a resident here in Harris County, you know, they have a program for you to help you fix your home, rebuild your home, or for you to go purchase another home. Then they have a second program where they have a down payment assistance, and it offers up to $28,000. And so in your down payment assistance, it helps you cover a multitude of things. It can help you pay for your down payment, your closing costs. What it won't do is help you pay down any debts. So it's strictly for you to purchase a home. And it also helps you to prepay for your prepaid items also. And, you know, related mortgage loan fees and expenses. So it can also help with closing costs as well. So even if you don't use a new builder, you're able to, even on an existing home, you know, receive assistance. And so, again, that can help to reduce the amount of money required for you to be able to come to the table. So, Dr. Wimbard, I'm going to open up for questions if we have any. Dr. Wimbard? He may have stepped away for a moment, so, you know, we'll keep going. So.
Oh, all right. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can.
Okay. I don't know what happened to the system. It blanked out. I'm talking. I don't see anything on the screen. It went blank. All right. Yeah, we do have someone. We have a caller in at 631-331-358. We're going to open your mic. 631-358, your mic is open. Welcome to the call.
Oh, my mean man. It's good to hear your voice, doctor. What's up?
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
All right, good, buddy. How's everything with you?
Listen, I am blessed and highly favored. How you feeling tonight?
All right, good. Yes, sir. Yeah, actually, you know, like Ms. Tiki is talking about, that's absolutely true. You do have a lot of great programs out there in different states. You do have to find out on your state. But, you know, everything is credit. Everything is credit, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why if you know, I have a program, and just like I spoke about 2 weeks ago about this, everything has to be done, you know, you got to be working on your credit. If you know your credit is not that strong, this is the time to start working on your credit. I do have a partnership with a company and who can start working on your credit so you could start buying your dream home. You might not buy your dream home, you know, and the first time, but at least you could start, you know, buy, like she said, you know, it doesn't have to be the dream home you like, but at least it's a start, and then later on, and you could stay there the next 3 to 5 years and sell it and go get your dream home. But you want to go ahead and get started on something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So,
and a lot
as Ms. Williams was talking tonight, she was talking about the down payment. And the programs that are out there for the first-time home buyers and things of that nature. Now you're in New York.
Correct.
So are there similarities in New York with financing for like no down payment? And then she told a wonderful story about the young lady that got the whole house brand new for $275. You know any programs like that that could even offer us possibilities to a first-time home buyer?
Yes, they do have those programs, you know, in New York, but I know in Florida they do because, you know, I'm back and forth to Florida and New York. And I know in Florida, yes, but that's not a problem because I have another solution for that. If you need the down payment, you got to have at least 680 to 700 credit score, and then I could go in and I'll get you the down payment what you need. So it really doesn't matter, you know. The whole bottom line, we do want you to get you in your house.
Right.
You know? And so it's, yeah, we could go ahead and get you an unsecured line of credit and then go ahead and, you know, get you into your house with what you need. You know,
that's
we can start
awesome.
You off with $25,000 and up.
Mm-hmm. Alan, is this forgivable? Is this a grant that you guys offer?
No, this is not a grant. This is an unsecured line of credit. But actually, I'm going to be talking to my people who offer grants. I'm going to talk to them and see what they have for first-time home buyers with grants, because I know it's a lot of great grants program out there. We, you know, and that's what she specializes in. Probably what I'll do is probably one week, I might have her come on the show also and speak about that, you know, speak about the grants, what's available. How you guys doing? And so that's what I'm going to have her do because, like I said, it's a lot of great programs out strictly with grants, you know, and because I have a conference call with her tomorrow to discuss about some grants, but, you know, have a talk, you know, about that. I think that's important. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. We definitely want to make sure that we educate people and let them know of the opportunities out there, you know, to be able to go and purchase, you know, because again, you know, a lot of us did not have people educating us in this arena here to tell us to say, hey, you know, home ownership is very possible for you. You don't have to have $20,000-$30,000 down. You know, you can actually own a home and not have to break the bank. And so that's very important, you know, especially in this time and educating and helping people to build and start building generational wealth. You can't leave a legacy if you don't start one. So
Absolutely. It
is it's imperative that, you know, if we can offer different, you know, opportunities and solutions to people, because like with your program, like with GPA, it is income-based. So some of these here may not work, you know, for people that make a certain amount of money, but that doesn't mean that they still don't need help in getting into their home. So, you know, you can offer another solution and say, hey, you know, we're able to help you, you know, still get into your home. And so I do have a question. Will this particular loan appear on their credit?
Yes, as long as you don't default on the loan, you know, it's not going to pay on your credit, but that's the only way. It doesn't really matter. Like I said, the only way, you know, if you default on the loan, that's when it's a pay. But, you know, they are going to pull your credit, you know, and then that's mostly it. That's why I tell people, you know, it's important to start working on your credit now, because it's a lot of opportunities out there, and that's why we're on this platform and sharing all this information, what we have, to let you know it is possible. Because a lot of people thinking, you know, it's not possible, you know, to go out there and get a home. But it is. You know, we're giving you
absolutely.
The tools. You know, and we're giving you the tools and everything, what you need to go and get started. This is why we're here on this platform, to help you, to get you started. You know, I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean. And the great thing about it is this program, what I'm talking about, the unsecured line of credit, you could use it. You could use it for anything. You know, you don't have to use it for down payment. You could use it to start a business. You could use it for anything. You know,
so the unsecure, what's secure? So the only thing that's securing it is your signature and your credit. Is that the program?
Your credit.
8700?
Yes. Correct. Exactly. Just it's just your credit. You just gotta have at least 680 across the board or better, you know, to get qualified. And
now,
you don't
you
need no collateral.
Right, because it's unsecured. It is based, your qualification is based off of the credit score and the income.
Yes, correct. Yes. Because the underwriters is gonna look to see exactly what you can afford every month.
They're
going to look at that, the income,
and
then the credit.
Right, they're going to get your DTIs and see. I know that most of them want to work it out somewhere like about 36 and 42 front and back ends.
Mm-hmm.
But do you run right now in this particular market, and I guess this question would be to two of you, because one of you guys are doing this in New York and the other one is in Houston. Are we running into first-time home buyers or people interested in buying homes that have 680 and 700 FICO?
I run into them.
How often? Often?
I would say yes.
I want to say, so some of the clientele, I've had a couple with that 680 and above credit score, and when we do, they don't need down payment assistance. They pretty much have been able to, you know, secure. It's a couple that I've had, they have needed it, and so, you know, they have taken advantage of using the grant or the loan program, because here's the issue that we will have, and I think what you have, Alan, is a great program, but we're taking out another loan. So then it might push them over when it comes to their debt-to-income ratio and what they really could qualify for a home. So that's the only issue, depending on what their income. If they're on the lower part of the income bracket, then that may not be a good option for them.
Or what they could do is switch the property. Instead of going for a one, go for a two. Maybe get something that's going to bring in an income that will then kind of offset the DTI. And maybe, you know, help them qualify for a house that way.
Two-family.
Now you have the income, right, a two-family, a three-family. So now you have the rental income. And I don't know, you know, ever since I did the financing, but I do think you can use 75% of that income towards your qualification.
Right, yeah. Oh, I think that would be, you know what I'm saying, a great thing. I'll say here in Texas, that market is sold up. It's very difficult to find multifamily. It really is. And even in Dallas, I also work with some clients in Dallas. Dallas is a totally different market than Houston right now. You know, we're still able to see houses in the 200,000s. It is very difficult to find anything over there in 250 or below. It's almost impossible. Even new, you know, we even have new construction that's still in the 250s over here. So it's a different market, like in Dallas, than it is in Houston. And so it's strange,
right,
because we pretty much have
strange.
The same kind of demographic, you know.
Right, but now that 250 in New York will get you the room in the back of the apartment.
Exactly. And so, you know, we have been seeing an influx. You know, we've just seen an influx of people from New York and California.
Right.
Because of that, you know, I mean, cause the cost of living in New York and California is astronomical.
Listen, I'm doing a deal right now. The lady got a house in Queens, right? The house, I'm telling you, is a, you know, you play Monopoly. You know the little greenhouses that you buy for Monopoly, right? The house remind me of that. $500,000.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Yep.
$500,000 in Queens.
Mm.
Over $500,000.
Wow.
$525,000 to be exact. I'm like, you have to be kidding me.
What I was going to say, that shocked me when I heard about Canarsie in Brooklyn, houses was going there for $800,000 to $900,000. I'm like, I had a guy approved for $650,000 or $675,000. The man could not even find a one family in Canarsie.
No.
Oh my!
Everything was everything was for $800,000 and better. I'm like, this is crazy.
Listen,
I'm like, you got six.
It's worse. Mm. You ready for this now? Because of gentrification, it is worse like downtown Brooklyn. So, Bed-Stuy-Stuyvesant and the Washington Heights area. That's all a whole different place. Let me tell you something. You know, I lived in Jersey. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. And I moved to Jersey, and I was in Jersey for like 25 years. You know, I'm always coming back and forth, but this particular time I drove in a different area, an old area that I hadn't been in many years. I just, you know, down Fulton Street. When I was on Fulton Street, Alice, when I first hit Fulton Street, I did not know where I was. I thought I was in the Village. I couldn't believe it. I saw all these nice white people sitting outside in tables and drinking their Perrier water.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
What happened?
And right. And not only that, nothing but new construction, hotels.
Right.
I mean, the Hiltons.
Right.
You're looking at the Sheraton, the Hiltons. I mean, all of this downtown Brooklyn. Because if you remember back then, 80s, in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, I mean, who would have thunk, you know, you'll be putting a Hilton or a Sheraton downtown Brooklyn?
Right. Who would ever thought that?
You know? Exactly.
Who would have ever thought that? And to go down there now, when I go down there now, I'm like really shocked when I see how they redeveloped the place. My point was down there, the average, because you know they got, so it's mostly two families, and it's mostly the brownstones and the brick houses down there. So you got two and three.
Right, exactly.
They're all, if you could find one for like 1.5, it's a steal.
All right.
Snatch it up.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can. Because, I mean, if you're looking at from all the way from Prospect Heights all the way down and strictly where they built the Atlantic Avenue, where they built Barclays Center.
Barclays.
Yeah. Oh,
Barclays.
Yeah. And I mean, forget it over there in that area. I mean, the prices went up like crazy in that area. I mean, three, because everything over there is mostly three and four families, you know, mixed use properties. And a lot of, you mostly have a lot of three and four families in that area.
Right.
I mean, it is a great investment because of the stadium, you know. But from Prospect Heights,
what do you guys think is about to happen, though, now that you know, they have ended most of the moratoriums, the rental and mortgage payments in the country. And they're going back on regular, you know, systems now. What are you guys seeing with happening with the market, let's say this time next year?
It's gonna change because matter of fact, you know, the economy is improving, and it's gonna be some absolutely it's gonna be a lot of opportunities, you know, is taking place with the economy, you know. But the stocks is the stock market is gonna go down a little bit, you know, because it's always around the holidays, you know, it takes a little dip, but you know, that's just that's expected. But other than that, it will turn around. I mean, the city, absolutely, you know, with the new mayor coming in, the city is going to turn around, you know, and so it's New York is going to come back. Right now, New York is like Chicago, you know, but it's going to turn around, you know. But I'm telling you, it's like Chicago right now in New York. And
I think for Texas, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, so go I ahead, think Chica. for Texas has still been strong even through the pandemic. They were strong even in the 2008-2009 downfall. I don't see a lot of foreclosures happening. A lot of people here, because of what we've seen it with COVID, a lot of people have equity in their houses now. So they're not like upside down like it was in 08-09. So
something about COVID created the equity in their house?
It increased it.
How?
Demand. People,
demand,
because
okay.
versus 2008-2009, when people really weren't truly qualified, and you know, we had predatory lenders, and I mean, don't get me wrong, we still have some of those around now, but nothing like we do have in 2008-2009. So a lot of people were truly really qualified to buy a home, and I mean, it just came out of nowhere, because when this happened, we really thought, as a realtor, I was like, well, I probably need to go back to the corporate world. Okay, this is it, a lot of people thought this was going to crash us.
One second, Alan, are you walking? Mm-hmm. You outside?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. We're getting the air full of wind.
Yeah. Can you put yourself on mute?
Yeah, I'm gonna put myself on mute.
All right.
Go ahead and talk.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
So, so yeah, so we really thought that this was going to crash us, and it didn't. You know, people started working from home. They were working from home. They were starting to see, like, hey, I could be qualified for a loan. You know what? I need a bigger space. Matter of fact, I don't like this apartment anymore. Really, I want a house. I need a space where I can truly work from home. Then we had an influx of a lot of people from New York and California that came in as cash buyers. Well, like you just said, that little bitty house was $1.2 million. If you bring $1.2 million to Texas, oh, you can get you a mansion with no problem. So, you know, what you guys are paying for in New York and California, I mean, you're coming down here getting 3-4 times the house and not spending $1.2 million. You might be spending $350,000, $400,000, $450,000, not even that. And if you wanted to be on the lower end, if you were in the twos and the threes and paying cash, your offer was at the top. So it knocked a lot of people out of the ballpark. And then with the builders not being able to keep up with the demand, it ended like anything else, supply and demand, it increased the demand for houses. So therefore, it increased the cost to make them. And when it did that, it also increased the amount to sell them. And so, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of change. It's still a seller's market. It's not how it was, you know, back during the summer. But, oh, the demand is still there. It's still there. So, I don't think that we're going to have a lot of foreclosures. What we might have is a lot of short sales and people saying, hey, I have equity in my house. So if you're going to come offer me a deal, you're not going to – my house is $300,000 and I got $200,000 in equity. You're not going to give me $20,000 and tell me good day. No.
Right.
That's
right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. You're really going to have to come with a strategic deal and be able to, you know, help them out because they're going to be savvy at this point.
Now, what kind of state is Texas? Is it a D state or a title?
It's a title.
It's a title. So you have your title.
I believe it's title, yeah.
Okay. Because I know in some places where, you know, you get your title once you pay the property off, they are the most vulnerable in, you know, awkward situations, I think, like this. Unfortunately, I'm not as optimistic as you guys are.
Okay.
About it. About what's coming down the pike. So I, you know, whenever I can, I'm always trying to prepare our people to be ready.
So what do you think is going to happen? What is your insight?
Wow. You know, I think that we are heading for some strange times. On a couple fronts. And what's about to happen with the real estate market, or what I believe is about to happen with the real estate market, is only a drop in the bucket. And so I hope that I'm wrong. But I think that there's going to be some stresses. We're about to, you know, see some stresses. I think that across the country, there are a lot of landlords and banks that have not received any money for the last 2 years. And they are going to be seeking remedies and ways to recoup that. And the government is only going to be able to come up with so many programs to try to create equilibrium for the money that the landlords lost during the time when they had it. So I think that in a lot of states, maybe not in you know, Texas, where we have common people, you know, that living from paycheck to paycheck and maybe have a couple of dollars. You know, most people, the average person has less than $400.
Mm-hmm.
When those people are under stress, I think that I don't know if there's going to be remedies for them. So I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that we actually have some type of boom market, because now there are a lot of properties that may be available because they were in foreclosure or because they were for rent, and now the tenants have been asked to relocate. You know, like Mr. Trump was saying the last time, you know, it's a good chance for the investor to come in and snatch up a bunch of properties. But what I hear is going to happen is, but they're about to change the game on us. And the focus will be put on big corporations and buying the properties and buying, you know, Exxon, buying, you know, 200, a 1,000 one-family homes. Or big corporations that are buying up a whole neighborhood. And so everybody in that area are tenants of the corporation. That's just stuff that I hear in the underground that's going on. I don't know how true it is. I haven't seen anything. In writing, but if indeed that's the case, It's going to be real interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's going to be real interesting. I know y'all about the next time y'all have me the Prophet of Doom going. I know you're right now thinking like, where is Dr. Robinson?
No, you're absolutely. No, I mean, yeah, I heard of something like that too. But this, to be honest with you, these corporations been doing that before then, before COVID, you know. And it's a few corporations I know out there is doing it, you know, buying, you know, coming in and buying like a whole block.
Right, they're buying a big office.
You know, and, yeah, they're not buying one or two. They're buying a whole block, you know. And so it's, I know it's like three companies right now, corporations out there is doing that right now. They've been, like I said, they've been doing it before this COVID thing, you know, but now it's because right now it's going to, yeah, things are going to turn around. But as you see, a lot of people relocated. That's
right.
Why everywhere right now is a shortage of, they saying it's a shortage of homes. The relatives are saying they don't have no inventory. Because a lot of people
Absolutely.
Move strictly, you
mm-hmm.
know, from, you know, from different states and from New York. A lot of people move, you know, wherever, as you know, Dr. Winsborne, you know, you see a lot of people was living in Manhattan. They moved to the Hamptons. They moved now. Mm-hmm. They moved to the Bronx. They moved. So a lot of people moved to Florida. A lot of people moved to Atlanta. A lot of people moved to North Carolina, all different locations. But one places I really like is Atlanta and Texas or Houston. I know, like Miss Tiki said, you know, I mean, if you got $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, you're gonna get you a nice mansion in both these locations in Atlanta and also in Texas or Houston. I mean, they got some beautiful homes. You know, you could get something for, I mean, $300,000, $400,000. I mean. And not only are you going to get a beautiful home, you're going to get sensual air. Okay?
Yes. It's pretty much mandatory
you know,
down here.
And exactly. If people don't know what sensual air means, that means your AC, everything is, you don't need one AC. You can be in your room. You know, your son could be in his room. Your daughter could be in the other room. Everybody has AC in their room.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And let
dumping.
Me throw a spin
okay.
on that one. Not only do you get mm-hmm. one AC unit, depending on how big the house is, especially if it's two-story, we have two AC units outside because they have one for the upstairs and one to cool the
downstairs.
Guys, it's hotter than fish grease down here, though. I mean, we get up in the hundreds. It's hot. And I'm from Illinois, the land of the cold. And so it is hot down here in Texas. But, you know, Dr. Winberg, let me correct myself. Texas is a deed of trust state.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So so the bank actually owns your property until you pay it off.
Yes.
Exactly. You know that. That's everywhere. But, you know, the good thing about it is, you know, it's like Vegas. Vegas is the same thing. Vegas is hot as heck too. It's in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, 105. You can get up. You know,
it's the only place. Well, put it this way, I was in Vegas the first time I saw heat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking
mm-hmm.
at the heat in front of me. I could see the
yes.
heat waves in front of me when I was in Vegas. Now, being a kid from Brooklyn, you know I was in a state of awe. I stood there like 20 minutes telling everybody, look, I can see the heat. That happened
you can
in Vegas.
See the
I had,
heat,
I,
yes.
I had never had that happen to me, so I know you're hot in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. And you can see the heat down here, too, but Vegas has a – I was just recently there, and I will never forget, we were just there in September, and – it was in the 90s while we were there. But we left that Sunday, and that Sunday we stepped outside, and it was 107 degrees. When I tell you that heat hit you like a boxer, like somebody just came and just slapped you in the face,
right,
unbeknownst to yourself. That's how it felt. And it was like, even though it's dry, it is still a different type of heat. I was like, whoa, this here will take you out. So, yeah, it's imperative that we have in these states, we have central air. Because you can't make it down here without it. It is just too much. So
it's exactly. It's the same thing in Florida. It's mm-hmm. you need central air in these places, these locations, because it's I mean, they're beautiful and everything. One thing I could say is, you know, you have at least you have a beach in every low town where you live at. You have a beach, so you could,
oh,
you know,
that's nice.
You could always go. You know, you can always go to the beach, you know.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
that's
I'm about 30 minutes away from a beach. To go
yeah,
to the ocean.
Not always here in Texas, though. We don't have, like here, Galveston. I'm probably about an hour or so away from Galveston. You know, we have our little swim places, but actual beaches, our closest one would be Galveston and Kima, which is, you know, they're both very nice. But when you guys are talking about the big companies coming through and buying up, that's very true. I'm seeing a lot of that here in Texas. I just had a listing, and we went under contract. They did it sight unseen. Sight unseen.
Yeah.
They didn't come and see it. And they pretty much wrote me a solid contract. There was no termination period, no option period. They came with $5,000 earnest money. I mean, it was a really solid contract. And, and they're going around buying up, and that they like that area where my client's house was because it was under $200,000. So I noticed a lot of the investors here, they love under $200,000, and they love anything up to about 1,700 square feet. You know, 1,700 square feet and smaller, they love those because they're easier to rehab, you know. You know, when you start getting up in that 2,000, 3,000 square foot house, you know, that's a lot of house to try to rehab. But you're staying at 15 square feet, that's not as much needed. And this house here really didn't, it doesn't even need any rehab. It's really moving and ready once they move out. So
what's
I'm seeing that. I get phone calls.
That you are, the lot size average.
Oh, it depends on where you're at. So if we're dealing with, let's see if we're dealing with like a D.R. Horton. So like my client, so you down here, you might find in the older neighborhoods between 7,000 and 10,000 square lot size. Yes. Square feet, between 7,000 to 10,000 square feet for lot sizes. If you go to some of the new development, you're probably about 6,000 to 8,000. Yeah. But, yeah, the older ones, you'll get a little bit more sometimes with the older developments than with the new ones. Matter of fact, let me pull up. I'm going to pull up one here. See if I can find it, some of these new developments, especially D.R. Horton, because like I said, they're so big down here. So I'll do that. But, yeah, that's, you know, you get a decent lot size down here. You could definitely find them 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, 15,000.
Well, you know, everything is bigger in Texas, so, you know. That's
I mean, Dr. Wimbar, it is. I'm sorry, but it is. It is. We do it big down here. We do it big.
And not only that, if you like horses, you might get a ranch.
Yes. Now, so let me tell you guys this. So I don't know if you heard of, like, Acres Homes in Texas. Third Ward, Fifth Ward. Okay. They're doing a lot of re-gentrification in those areas. But Acres Homes, you can be driving down the street and you can see a horse beside you. And mind you, now, we're not that far from Highway 45. Like, as you know, Highway 45 runs from one end of Texas to the next. It goes from south to north, north to south. So it runs all the way through Texas. And as you see, Texas is big. So, but Acres Home, you can be riding down the street and you can see a horse gallop beside you in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Listen. I had that to happen to me when I moved to Charlotte, okay? I was doing some business. I was down there help build this school. And where I was living, when I would turn the corner to go to my house, to the complex I lived in, the house right at the front corner there, the people used to keep a horse tied.
No, not the pole.
To the porch.
Not to the light pole.
To the porch.
Oh, my God.
To the porch. And I'm like, I would ride by. I would call my daughter. I was like, you know, I got to get out of here. There's a horse at the corner.
You should have rode the horse.
That was such a culture shock for me. My poor child was like, Daddy, calm down.
Oh, my Lord.
Tied to the porch at the corner.
Yep.
Wow.
So
that's
what'll happen,
yeah.
Not as this ain't what I call country ghetto.
You know.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Don't do us like that.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Wow.
But,
anyway.
It happens. So.
Yeah. Well, let's see who has some questions for us.
Now, we are the three wise people in the studio. But what we are going to do is we're at the top of the hour. And so we're coming up on our half. We're going to take a commercial break, pay some bills, and then we're going to come back and continue the conversation after that.
All right.
Very good.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on a payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Chuck and Traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Miles.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted,
enlightened, and entertained. Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour bookings, and more. The Green Dragon record-breaking blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time. We on time.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. You're listening to All About Real Estate with the wonderful Miss Tiki Waves. Let's give her a hand as she comes back to the mic at this time.
All right, we are back in full effect. We have Alan on tonight with us as well, along with Dr. Wimber. And so we're having a great conversation. And so, Dr. Wimber, I just kind of wanted to give you an insight here on the different builders. So I pulled up one new construction, and their lot size is 16,000 square feet. Building size about 1889, and this is Daniel Cigarelli. They've been around, I think, since the early 90s. And then we go to a D.R. Horton home, same size, about 1,800 square feet, and we're looking about 7,500, maybe, you know, 7,900 square feet for a lot. So with this other builder, now you are paying a little bit more money because you're getting a little more lot, but as you can see, they offer a bigger lot size. You know, you might be paying maybe additional, maybe $20,000 more, and you can get almost double the lot size. But
now,
yeah,
is it hard to subdivide the lots out there? Let's say I wanted to drop another house on my lot. How hard is it?
Well,
so
if you're dealing with an HOA, you're probably going to have a problem. So if you are in a non-restricted area, you're fine. You know, I have a piece of land right now in Huntsville, Texas. I'm listing, it's 28.5 acres, and it's no restriction. There's no mud. There's no HOA. You could do whatever you like on that piece of land. It could be commercial. It could be residential. Beautiful piece of land. You know, you would have to go to the county if you were wanting to do like an RV park or something like that. But that's just to get approval. They probably will go ahead and approve it. But if you're dealing with the, like, the subdivision, the new construction areas, no, you're probably not going to be able to drop another house out there because they're going to stop that. Because back there as well, you have, and I forgot what they call it, it's basically like the line where you could stop building. Like if you wanted to add a deck, if you wanted to add a pool, you could. But there is a build line, I guess you can call it, where they say, okay, you know, you can't go back this far. But in some of the other areas where you don't have the HOA restrictions, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, I have a client right now where they're buying a double wide. And down here, you know, they love double wides and triple wides, which don't get me wrong, it's very nice. I mean, it's upgraded granite countertops, hardwood floors, very, very nice. They're sitting on a half an acre, so they're going to drop a small mobile home on there for their mom so she can stay on the property. So when they buy this one, that's what they're going to do. And so, you know, more in the rural areas, you're able to do that. But in, like, the Houston area where we got the developed master subdivisions, no, you would not be able to do that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I was just wondering, you know, with all that extra, you know, footage around the house, how many houses can I drop for my lot, you know, with that test?
Yeah, you know, it really depends on the HOA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just depends on the HOA. You would have to read the rules. But, I mean, you can always drop you a little, as they call them, like a little man caves, you know, those little houses back there. Like, you could do that. The little shed, the little man shed. Yeah, you could throw your little man shed back there. It could be a house.
You know,
you
know what? Something about the way you say that, that I don't like. You know what I mean? I don't know, Albert. I don't know how you... You know, I just kind of get a little man shed. You know what I mean? I mean, like, what's up with the little man shed?
What? That's what we call them. So, you know, as I feel burned. So, in New York, I have a question. Do you guys have basements?
Most buildings have a basement.
Okay. So, back home, we have a basement. We have basements. Down here in Texas, we don't have basements. It's not common. They can. You can have one, but it's not common.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did back home. Like, our dad or whatever, they had a man cave. And that's where Dad went with his buddy.
In the basement.
Yeah. And, you know, but it would be finished, too, though. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. You got some nice man caves that were, the basement was finished. I'm talking about big screen TV down there, the whole nine. That's when they had the true big screen TV. I'm talking about the TV itself. Sat on the floor, it was big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have that.
Right, I remember those.
Yeah, the pool tables and stuff, all that'd be downstairs, and that'd be Dad's man cave. So, but here, you know, they don't have basements, but they do have game rooms. So they're normally like upstairs or in a different part of the house, and, you know, your media room, or they might call it the media room and stuff like that. So they just kind of moved it to a different area.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of those in Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You better, media room, you better, glad you got a bathroom.
I have to come to New York. I've never been in New York. I have to come to New York.
Really?
Check New York out.
All right. Let me start making all these smart remarks about it until you get here.
What? I didn't say anything.
No, I said me. I said me. I don't want to scare you because it's not that bad. I love New York. I love New York. I love being in New York. But, you know, it took me a minute to get adjust to the real estate market here in New York because I was used to the market in Jersey. And so it's a whole other ball game, you know, here in New York, just like right across the water. And so I didn't, you know, I when before I went to Jersey, the only property that I bought in New York was a three family that I bought for myself. Now, let me tell you the story right quick, because you were talking about the story of the young lady that bought the house for $275. Well, I bought a house for $250. And now the story behind it is I bought this house at the auction. I'm going to make it short. I'm not going to give you the long version of it.
No, it's okay.
I bought this house at the New York auction for the minimum price of $1,000. And I just needed $250 to bid, you know. And then you, in 30 days, you had to come up with the balance of the money, the other $750. And so I actually borrowed the $250 from my uncle. I think I was 19, maybe 20, my very first house. And I went to the auction. Now, when I got to the auction, it started at 9 o'clock. I called myself being smart. I get there early at 8 o'clock. I got there at 8 o'clock, but auction started at 9, and it was already packed, and they had already closed the door. At 8 o'clock, you couldn't get into this auction. Now, you wasn't breaking into this auction because it was Hell Allen at One Police Plaza, the headquarters, the police headquarters in New York. So you're going to act nice, and you're going to do what they tell you to do. When they tell you to go home, guess what? You go home. But you know, that wasn't enough for me. No, I came all the way out here. You know, I got my little $250. I'm gonna buy a house. I wind up sneaking into the auction. Right? I went around the back way where the police go in. And when the police was coming in to work, they didn't come in with the uniforms. They didn't put the uniforms on and stuff until after they get there. And so once I just walked in with them like I was a cop. You know, I just walked like I was a cop, like I belonged there. Walked in there, nobody say anything to me. And I just think once I get in the building, I'll go up some stairs somewhere. Eventually, somebody will help me. And I will tell them that I was at the auction and left the auction to go to the bathroom and I couldn't find my way back. And somebody will point me to it. And that's exactly what happened. And they pointed me back to the room where the auction was being held. So I'm in there. I don't know. It's got to be a couple of, I don't know, look like 400 or 500 people in there. This big auditorium. They got the ushers everywhere taking bids. They got the auctioneer. So I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing how things are going. And I noticed that there's a pattern, right? I noticed the pattern was that if a person got a good deal, they would applaud the person and congratulate the individual for the deal that they got. So I was like, man, I hope the person before me get a good deal. I'm going to try to sneak my bid in because the auctioneer be ready to go, and sometimes they be still clapping. You follow me? And he be on to the next part. So sure enough, the person before me not only got a good deal, got a great deal. Okay, they almost gave him a standing ovation. The auctioneer was ready to go. He called the parcel. I snuck my bid into the usher, and he put it in. There wasn't nobody paying attention.
Ah, look at you.
Wasn't nobody paying attention. They still clapping for this other guy that got the deal. So the auctioneer is saying, okay, we got such and such a property. No, we got it in a bin boy one time. Anybody really paying it on mine? When they starting to come back around, and it's nothing that he said at the beginning, and he said, going twice? When he said going twice, listen, I started shaking, okay?
I bet you did.
I started shaking like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. And by the time he said going twice, people was like, going twice? What's going twice? What's going twice? By the time they turned around, got themselves together, the auctioneer said, going three times, sold that man over there.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe
that had worked. I was so nervous. When I pulled my money out to pay the lady at the table that was taking all of them, my poor little hand was taking, she grabbed it. She grabbed my hand.
Oh my God.
Calm down, baby. Calm down. All right, calm down. Read your money. You got your money? You know, she's talking to me like that. And
I would have been shook too.
$250 that I bought from my uncle. I got this house for 1,000 miles, which was the minimum bed. It was a three-family frame house in Brooklyn on Monroe Street, 355 Monroe. I'll never forget the very first house I bought. I bought that house for $1,000. I was 19, 20. I didn't know what to do with it. I sold it to a contracting guy for $25,000 like a month later.
So you made a profit of $24,000.
Just like that.
Just like that. So question, is that the process today? Do they still do it like that today?
You know, I believe...
Would you go in auction?
I believe so. I haven't been in a while, but I believe so. It's been a long time. I know that they have, those are like the city auctions. So, they put the book out and everybody go around and look at the properties, this, that, and the other. So I did. I only sold one house I could possibly have a chance to get. I never went inside of the property. I just, drove by it, and I saw it. And, I got the house. And the funny part is I had asked a couple of people to come in with me. No one wanted to come in with me because everybody kept saying that I don't know what I'm doing, which I really didn't. You follow me?
Well, you proved them wrong. Mm-hmm.
I proved them wrong. So that worked out. So I was able to actually get this three-family house for $1,000.
Wow.
One time, another story with the auctions is that I bought a house one time for $1,900 and sold it for $107,000.
What? Now, wait, huh?
Yeah, I did that.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I was able to do that, and it just kind of like worked out,
Wow!
I went to the auction, they have all the players there, and so this is in Jersey, so this was like a shadow sale type auction, and. It was something we was doing on a regular basis. So in this one particular auction, the lawyer stands up for the bank and says, listen, my client got this house. He doesn't want it. It had a fire in it. Anybody want to offer us $30,000, we'll turn the house over to you. You had a house. Well, again, ain't nobody moving. Because nobody know about the house. He's going to have a fire. $30,000, So what happened was... It sparked my interest. I went by and looked at the house, right? When I went by and looked at the house, I was able to get in. I realized that the fire was only like a kitchen fire. If somebody had burned the bacon. The reality of it is the fire department did more damage than fire. And it was only in the kitchen area behind the stove. The rest of the house was fine. It was in tip-top shape.
Oh,
and so
wow.
I figured that, okay, just like I did this, everybody else did this. So I got to find a way to cut this off because if this guy, the lawyer, come back to the auction again on the next Tuesday, right? Everybody's gonna be bidding on it. Now the price is gonna be double, triple. So what I did was I went to the lawyer's office and talked to the lawyer, and I told him what had happened. You know that he can't hit one of his guys, because I wound up talking to the main guy, and that one of his lawyers had came and blah 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 blah. So he says to me, and in fact, the lawyer, this particular lawyer, turns out, this is how God works, we used to be in the building where I was. So we had an opportunity to talk about the building and this, that, and the other, what was going on in the building. Is so-and-so still there? Yeah, they still there. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, I'll tell you what, JW, you pay my fee, and I give you the building. Then I said, well, because I know he's top lawyer in New Jersey, right? So I said, well, how much is your fee, right? How much is your fee? He didn't know how much his fee was. Secretary told her to find out how much we're supposed to be getting from so-and-so on this house. So she came back and told me $1,900. I said, give me $1,900 to have a house. I said, I'll be right back. So I went and got the money. I came back, gave her $1,900, signed all the paper, turned everything over to me. So now I'm thinking, if everybody did what I did, by the time they go back, we get to the auction, they bid on it, oh, that money's going to be mine, you know? But the crazy thing is no one's bidded on the house. So I bid on it myself and got my own house, you know, paid $100 and whatever.
Right.
Yeah, so I got that house for $1,900, that was in August. That October, we went in, you know, we had went in did a little work. That October, we sold that property for $107,000.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So these, you know, they work, you know, but they, it's not the pattern. When you're in the business, these things happen. You know what I mean? They come up and, you know, if you're smart and you see what's going on, you're able to take advantage of it. So those are two, you know, two stories. One, but, you know, the first one is real dear to me because it was my very first property. So I never get my, you know, by the time I did the one I just told you about, I thought I was in the game. You know? Although that was a good deal, but there were other deals. But that very first one at the auction, especially the fact that I got there and I got the whole story, how I got locked out and was able to sneak into the police area,
mm-hmm.
Then watch the bidding, and then was able to figure out the pattern and just got lucky. I mean, when I tell people, and people ask me how I'm doing, and I tell them that I am blessed and highly favored, that's why I say that, because things like that could happen, and I want them to keep that. So I'll keep putting that affirmation out
right. All
the time, over and over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. These things really happen.
Absolutely. Because that's all that was definitely favor. Wow.
Right, that was definitely favor.
Definitely favor. Favor's not fair.
Favor's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Favor's not fair. Oh, my Lord.
Favor. Because on the second deal, I had no idea who the lawyer was. When I went through and I looked, and I'm like, oh, this is the doctor's office. Oh, this is where they at now? And so that
right.
That worked out. He was like, no, just pay my fee, that house. And at that time, I didn't tell them that I saw the house and it was only a kitchen fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't go look at
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
If you
right.
go look at it, they just rolled it off, had a fire in it. Oh, that's up.
Wow, and look at that, and that profit. And so that's, you know, man, that is a prime example of just being able to get yourself in a position to start building your wealth, your generational wealth and your legacy. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you're able to take that $24,000, then you went, took that, ended up buying another property for $1,900, you said?
Yeah, $1,900.
$1,900, and then months later, You sold it for $107,000.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I tell people real estate is the fastest way for you to grow your wealth portfolio. One of the fastest ways.
Right.
Because one thing about real estate, pretty much all of it appreciates. You know what I mean? Unless,
right.
You know, I mean, yes, you know, we do get in some times and areas where there is some depreciation, but majority of the time, you're going to appreciate. You're going to see an increase in the fee that you sold when you buy your home. It's just pretty much inevitable. And so that's why it's so important. And thank you so much for sharing stories like that. So that encourages people to know that these things can really happen. Because, you know, we see stuff on Instagram. You know, I call them like the get-rich schemes. And, you know, they'll give you kind of like a clickbait kind of thing. And or click here. You know, you can do get your LLC, boss up, get your LLC, go get $50,000. And, okay, but there were some steps in between all that, between you got the LLC and that $50,000.
Right.
You just didn't get an LLC and go get $50,000, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's out there.
They both got emailed to you at the same time, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, it takes time for these things to transpire and to happen. But, I mean, you know, just being able to share stories like that and let people know, like, yeah, these things can happen. You know, this is doable. It's real. It can happen if you're in the right place at the right time. And like you said, you know, you have in favor. I mean, nothing can beat favor, you know. So, you know, the right connection, the right people, the right time, and God will place you in the right places and the right connections. And you can go from being broke today to a millionaire tomorrow. It's possible.
It is very possible, you know, as a man think of in his heart, so is he.
Absolutely.
And so we, you know, some of these principles, we have to learn how to apply them to our business because they're universal principles. I know most people think that they're religious principles, but they're universal principles. That's where religious got them from.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we understand little stuff like that, it kind of helps things along. You know, I tell people all the time, without your knowledge, whether you're aware of it or not, you have been creating your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
You have the power to do that. You've been doing that. You just hadn't realized that you've been doing that. You are a co-creator, and you've been co-creating your reality the whole time. Now, what you got to do, since I've told you the secret, now go create the reality you want.
Absolutely. You know, faith without works is dead. So, you know, I hear people talking about
how much you believe. If you don't get up and do something, I'm going to tell you something else that people don't want to think about. You also, not only are you the one that got to get up and do something, you the one that got to have the faith. You figure that out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You all in it. So.
Yeah. It takes you. You are the key to your own success. And sometimes I hear people talking about manifesting and manifest. Yeah, it's great, but you still have to put in work. You just can't sit here and say, okay, I envision myself in a $1.2 million house. I envision myself in a $1.2 million house. You put it on your vision board, but you don't do anything to help you obtain and get there.
Right.
You still got to put in work.
You still got to put in work because you got to remember that. If you believe it, the universe is working things out in your favor, or God is working things out in your favor, however way you identify source, whatever name you decide to call your God, okay?
Right.
Is working things out for you. That's probably beyond your imagination. So when I say that, what does that mean? That means that things are working out in your favor. You just don't see them yet because you haven't picked it up on your radar.
Absolutely. And that's where your faith comes in at.
That's where your faith comes in. So then when they do manifest, you have to be ready or it won't manifest. And sometimes you are the cause of your own blockage. So when we're doing these things and we you know, we're going out, we're trying to buy real estate, we're trying to, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, we're trading, you know, options, you know, we're doing day trading and, you know, we're calling shorts and, you know, doing all, whatever it is that we're doing. Learn how to apply these principles. And, I mean, and it's not anything that may be easy. You got to work at it. You know, I didn't know him all the time. I still do not claim by any means be an expert at it, okay? If you came to my house, you would know that. I'm just saying. It's a way of life, and you learn to put these principles in play to create the things that you want. You know, whether, you know, I used to tell people, you know, for a long time, this way, as people were asking me how I'm doing, and I'll say, I'm all right. Or I'll make a sacrifice to someone because, no, I'm going to be all right. If I didn't know anything else, I knew that James Winborn was going to be all right.
All right.
It was just something in me. I knew that. And then one day I decided, you know what? I am all right. But I don't want to be just all right. I want to be better than all right. So now I have to start confessing those things and speaking those things into existence that causes me to be better than all right. Because I've been all right because that's what I proclaimed. That's what I put out there. That's what I put out in the universe. That's what I manifested. That's what came back. So, you know, you need to put some opulence on the menu, some other, you know, well-being on the menu. Some financial security on the menu. Because right now, you just don't like
it. Right.
You know?
Wow. You know,
stuff like that.
Man, that's impressive. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, and I'm like, wow. But you know what? You're absolutely right. Because, you know, God already gave us everything, what we needed. It's up to us to put the front foot forward and keep going, you know, because a lot of people be sitting, I mean, yeah, we could pray, but everything takes massive action, okay?
Right.
You got to take action. If you don't take action, forget it, you know? I mean, that's what I don't understand, you know, with certain people. But, you know, that's why I said everybody, you know, success, it comes with hard work. It comes with disciplines. It comes with, you know, with vision. It comes with everything, what you need to do. But you got to put the work in to make it happen. You know, I mean, you know, yes. And you gotta. It comes with faith. You know, you got to step out. You got to step out in faith. You got to step out of your comfort zone.
And what do they say about faith? Like, faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The thing that you hope for, it's made from that substance, okay? And it's the evidence, the proof of things that you don't see. So that says that there's stuff that's going on around us, as I said earlier, that's working out in our favor, but we haven't picked it up on our radar yet because the universe is still doing their thing. You know, the scripture says that your gift will make room for you.
Yes.
And so I tell a story sometimes about how some years ago I joined an organization called Ethiopian World Federation, which I had known about and heard about, and Dr. Robinson, I introduced me to it. And I wasn't real interested, but I thought, you know, it'd be good to have on the resume that I was part of such a old organization founded by a king, the only organization that has been started by a head of state, you know? So I would join one of the locals. And, I've joined the locals, and then one day they was interested in getting a property, so I put a package together. yada yada yada. I did my thing, and it didn't go through, and I just kind of like left it, and that was the end of that. And then one day my telephone rang, and the person on the other end of the phone introduced themselves as the president of the organization.
Oh my.
And they said to me that they had seen the package that I had sent in. They said to me that because of their health, they were retired. And they wanted to know that if he nominated me to replace him, would I accept the nomination? He was the president. Just out of the blue. And I got that phone call because of something I had did some time back and had forgotten all about it.
Right.
So that takes me to the script that says how your gift will make room for you. You don't even have to go out trying to make the room yourself. You know, as sources on your side. I always give a lot of credit to the ancestors. You know, I call them what the scripture called that great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before. So I'm always giving them assignments. I know they get tired of me asking to go do stuff for me. You know, but we try to make it happen. Hey, so we got a new caller into the queue. I think I know who this fella is. We're going to open your mic, 718-350. 718-350. Your mic is open.
Good evening. Good evening. Good thanks. Sister Kiki, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, fine. Thank you so much for joining. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in Delaware right now and taking care of some business. But, you know, the thing that keeps on while Dr. Winborn was speaking, faith without work is dead.
Absolutely.
You know, and we can pray and dream and, you know, and everything else. And then there's consistency, you know, of that faith and the work that you put in. You got to be consistent. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I realized that all, you know, some of my friends, I said, Ron, you've been working on this 20 years. I said, well, it may take 20 more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I
mm-hmm.
believed in it, and I cleaned it, you know, and had ups and downs and what have you, mistakes and all that other kind of stuff, and stopped and started. You know, but if you continue to persist in that dream, and it doesn't have to come the way you want it. Matter of fact, it doesn't have to come what you drew up, you know, which is what happened to me. You know, it can come another way, be a totally different thing, but you've been going in the direction for so long, and you find that things expand. You're thinking on one thing, but as you go down the road, your ideas and your contacts and stuff like that expand.
Mm.
So your main focus, you know, hasn't moved, but later on it has expanded, and then you see all the other offshoots of your main focus that you can do. One of those works. You're still persistent and consistent, and you're still prayerful, you know, and it works. It works for you. You know, it's working for me. You know,
praise
so
God,
I praise
yeah.
God for that. You know, and you know, I used to tell people, you see, Ron, you know, have you got your million yet? I said I spent that million on trying to keep the millions that I'm going to get. You know,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got that. That's gone. You know. All right, well, that's helped me get the other million, you know. So, I've been there, done that, you know. And this is how you got to think. And then the thing is, keep joyful. I mean, we all go into depression and stuff like that, and I do. And I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. You know, I like to tell jokes. I just make certain statements. But I love that. You know, it keeps my heart healthy. You know, because laughter is exercise in that muscle, you know. And it keeps myself focused, you know, and it keeps good people around
me. Right.
You know, so you have to really, you know, you can plan, you know, and everything else. And somebody comes to you and say, hey, man, I got this, and you should think about it. It may be right up your alley of what you're planning. It's not exactly what you're looking for, but it's something that's going to lead you back to what you're doing, you know, what you want to do. And so I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
All right.
Absolutely. That is a blessing to be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, so I got it sort of late, Sister Kiki, but I'm always anxious to listen to what you have to say in your teaching. All right.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
And much love and peace to everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Please,
go ahead.
No. You were going to say we were talking about. I was just going to ask him when he was coming back to New York.
I'll be back Friday.
Oh, you'll be back Friday. All right.
Yeah, I'll be back Friday. You know, so, but this is good. When I needed the time out in New York to see something but else but concrete, and this opportunity came up, and I'm helping somebody, which is a blessing for me, just to help somebody, you know, and so on. So it's okay. You're okay.
It's a blessing to be a blessing.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. It is. So, and the person I was helping is how old? How old is she?
What? 2 months.
She's 2 months.
Oh, it's 2 months.
Oh.
Two months old.
All right.
You know, and she's a doll. She's a doll.
Well, you're helping greatly. At 2 months.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Y'all have a good night. And looking forward to calling in again.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Not about that.
Okay. All right,
thank you, my brother. Listen, we're about running out of time. Anyway, you know, we're down to our last few minutes in the program. We got just about 7 minutes to go, and we're going to ask we got to start wrapping up. But Alan, you got any last words you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to touch bases and just give some insight on your DPA programs in different states. So in every state, they offer a down payment assistance program. And so if you do nothing else, definitely speak with your realtor, speak with your lender about it. They should have some insight on where to go for your state. There's also county programs, and there are city programs. So you have three different avenues that you could go to be able to get information. And normally if you go to the housing section in your city, for example, if it's New York, the City of New York Housing Department, you know, if you want to start there or type in first-time home buyer program for the City of New York or New Jersey or wherever you are, you should be able to get information. But, again, use your resources, use your lender, use your realtor, their resources in helping you find the different programs out there for you. So, very important to take opportunity for that. And, you know, Alan also has a great program as well. So, you know, take an opportunity to look into his program. Credit repair is awesome because, again, credit is key in getting a lot of these programs here. So that's going to be important. you know, you can also get some programs in the city of Houston with a 580 credit score. But again, each of these are dependent on the city, state, and county that you're in. So again, you know, take that opportunity to reach out to your resource, which would be your realtor or your lender, to get more information. So my last and parting words, like always, every night, every Tuesday night, if someone tell you that you can't buy a home or you can't do it, tell them to come and see and speak to me, because we can make this happen. We can put you on a plan of success, a road to success, for you to be a homeowner. So I hope everyone has a good night. Alan, do you have any parting words?
Yes. Not only you're going to get your credit fixed, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get financial lockbox with it, credit builder, net worth, saving goals, identity monitoring goals, credit restoration, credit attorney, budgeting, credit monitoring, and debt payoffs, and you're going to get a will and a trust with this, okay, when you guide and when I set you up. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? And then the best part is you're going to get life insurance with this. You know, and you don't have to be, you know, sometimes when you go for life insurance and, you know, they tell you, oh, if you have this, if you have that, you know, none of that nonsense. You automatically get a life insurance for your family, for you, for $100,000 of life insurance automatically. When I start helping you, building up your credit, building up your future. So that's exactly what you get when you come on board with us, showing you the road to success. You can't beat that. Because I remember when I went for life insurance, they told me, oh, no, you smoke, you do this. If you have this, you're not qualified. With this, it doesn't matter. You automatically qualify for $100,000 right off the bat. It doesn't matter if you smoke or you drink or you smoke a little weed.
Not a little weed. What if you smoke a lot?
What if you smoke a little weed and your little man cave? You know what I mean?
Your man.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words.
People come.
Your life has been
out of control.
You're confused.